Everybody, welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair. This is the Friday short show. Short show, say that real fast. Well, it's a little bit rainy out there today in downtown Northfield, Minnesota, on the 20th day of July. Isn't that amazing how fast things are going? There used to be a Chamber of Commerce director here in Northfield many years ago called Cleet Thill. He's still alive and well out in Denver. He's a friend of mine. And he used to take his family out for rides on Sunday. And I thought, how weird is that? You know, put a family in a car and just drive around? Well, it turns out that I do that now. And I encourage you, if you get a chance, to get out into a rural Northfield and Cannon Falls and Kenyon, Elko, Denison. Don't forget, Lonsdale has their big church deal on Sunday. I want you to know that. But just drive around and enjoy the beautiful green and how great this community in Northfield and surrounding areas is. It's just beautiful. Just take the time. Put your family in there and just drive around and check things out, like the soybeans and the corn or whatever. Anyhow, I just wanted you to know that I have a guest on today that was with me a little while ago, I think Monday. And he goes by the name Pastor Drew. How do you do, Pastor Drew?
I do well. I'm glad to be here again, Wayne. Thanks for having me on.
I like to see pastors dressed like you're dressed today. I mean, nobody would guess that you are a pastor. Very casual. You have on a, what is it? Oh, that's Jesus. And it says woke. And it's pretty nice. You got on a pair of shorts or whatever they're called and casual shoes.
Mm-hmm. I like to go undercover sometimes.
Okay.
I can go to places I normally wouldn't.
Well, I think the T-shirt you have on with that beautiful logo and then the word Jesus on there, that might give people a little idea of what your feelings are.
That's true.
So we got all through your life almost until you got into a place called Luther College, which is located where?
Well, Luther Seminary. So I went to Gustavus College.
Yeah.
And Luther Seminary. You know, it gets confusing sometimes. But Luther Seminary up in St. Paul.
How long does that take?
Typically, if you want to become a pastor, you have to get a Master Divinity degree.
Okay.
That's the traditional track, and that has been in the past a four-year degree. So just about as much education as a physician would get.
By the way, I should tell you that the church that you are working with congregates is the Erland Lutheran Church. And I've talked to a lot of people since you were on the air Monday. Mm. And where is that church? And I said, well, it's between 56 and 52. If you go to Rochester, you drive by it on your right with a little flashing yellow light on top of the hill. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's at, Erland. And they've been around. That church's been around for how long now?
Well, 150 years. We're celebrating
Our
sesquicentennial, 150th anniversary this fall.
Say that again.
Sesquicentennial. It's a tongue twister. Yeah, just say 150.
Say it again.
Sesquicentennial.
Sesquicentennial.
Bingo.
And when you look at it on paper, it looks like, what is that? But that's a long time, 150 years. And have you got any parishioners that were there helping build it in the beginning?
They're not around anymore.
Oh, they might be around the church.
They're around the church in the
six feet under.
Yes, that's right.
But you have a very devoted congregation there. I've had the pleasure of going to that church on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
And they work hard. I mean, it's a small parish. Do you call it a parish?
Yeah, okay. You could call it a parish. And it used to be tied with a number of other congregations. For a time, it was with two others, Vang Lutheran and Wangan Prairie Lutheran. So there were three congregations in the parish, and I think they would have shared one pastor. And then for a time they went down to two, which is Erland and Wangan Prairie. And then I think it was in the 90s, I want to say, that Erland kind of went off on its own.
Okay, is that good? I mean, is that what people want, is to be independent of others?
It seems to be that way. You know, like for a long time, I don't think this is the majority of the church's history, but I'd say probably post-World War II, when, you know, you had the baby boom and families were going to churches in droves because it was what you did. Congregations all over the country were growing, and so it became the model to have your own building, your own pastor. You know, one church, one pastor, and that's kind of what everyone thought was a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I think now, as churches all over are starting to shrink in terms of membership and dollars, we're needing to shift back more to a, thinking about different ways to do ministry, not just the one pastor, one church model.
Yeah, I remember talking to pastors at, I think they did Castle Rock, and then they did Little Prairie, and in the same day, and driving in between, and I think we discussed it, that second sermon goes a little bit better because you got through the first one, and you try to do it off of bullet points, right?
Yeah, so I guess I would be more of a manuscript preacher myself, so
okay.
I kind of like to write out what I want to say, and not read it off the manuscript, but deliver it. And
you memorize it?
Usually I don't.
Okay.
Sometimes I will. If I've preached it enough, like you said,
yeah.
you know it pretty well. Yeah.
So I had a friend that late in life became a minister. Hmm. And I can't recall. I think he did go to Luther. And he was in his 60s. And his name is Van Miller. I don't know if you know Van.
Okay, I don't. No.
He has a church down in, I didn't realize that you have to study Greek and Latin.
Yeah, well, at Luther it was Greek and Hebrew. So, but if you were in, the Roman Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
Studying to be a priest, then typically they do require study of Latin. At least that's my understanding.
Do priests go to that seminary?
We do have some Roman Catholic students.
Really?
But I think, now this is, I'm speaking out of my ignorance here, but I do believe if you want to be a priest in the Roman Catholic Church, you do have to go to one of the Catholic seminaries.
My uncle, and I'm his godson, but unfortunately he's not here anymore. He passed away, but he was he went through the St. Paul Seminary over by Summit Avenue, mm-hmm. and then he taught there for a while. And when you were talking about Latin, and they have to take Latin, I thought, most priests go to, you know, a Roman Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of it was for me is that you had to study two languages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, well, why would you have to do that? I mean, that's got to be, that has to be hard.
It is. Yeah, it's a mind bender. And we're often asking that question ourselves, why do we have to study these things? Really, it's so that we can read the Bible in its original language. So the Old Testament is written mostly in Hebrew. Also, there are parts that have some Aramaic. That's another ancient Semitic language. Aramaic would probably be the language that Jesus and his disciples spoke. And then Greek was the language in which the New Testament was written. Koine Greek, to be specific. So that was kind of the common language of the time in that part of the world that had been conquered by, you know, Philip of Macedon and Alexander the Great. So if you wanted to communicate an idea to a large amount of people, you had to speak Greek. And so the early gospel writers and Paul knew that. So that's why they went with Greek.
Now, have you ever applied your knowledge of Greek to any sermon or any conversation?
Yeah, it's kind of tough to do that when you're talking to people who who don't know Greek. I think it's more for getting a deeper understanding of the text you're reading. And sometimes I'll throw in a Greek word here or there to kind of help illuminate what's going on in the story. But you don't want to get too deep in that because people will just, you know, they'll fall asleep.
Well, I do know that I took Latin for 2 years and flunked both years and had to go to summer school. But Latin, you know, at the time I'm going, who cares? Mm-hmm. And then you find out later in, after that so many words are derivatives of Latin.
Right.
You
right.
run into that in Greek, like you see a word, yeah. you're reading a book, and you go, oh, I recognize that word from the Greek language.
Yeah, you know, that is another interesting part of studying languages. It often opens up your thinking about your own language, especially English, because, you know, English is such an amalgamation of different languages, Latin, Greek, you know, the Romantic languages, French, and even, you know, German. It kind of opens up the way you think, not just about language, but about the world. It really is kind of a mind-expanding thing to study some of those ancient languages.
Do you have a deep study of philosophers?
I wouldn't say deep, but I do enjoy philosophy. In college, I took a few philosophy classes, and it does apply a lot to theology. There's kind of close interconnections there. In fact, you know, back in the in the old days, in universities, philosophy and theology were kind of the same department. Also, along with science. In fact, they talked about theology as kind of the queen of all the sciences, which is interesting because, you know, nowadays it's you know, they're very strictly separated disciplines.
It's already 14 minutes after 10 o'clock. You have missed the Quarterback Club's breakfast. They serve breakfast Monday through Saturday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., but they are getting ready for the noon hour rush. And let me tell you something, if I may. We have a wonderful menu for Friday. A lot of people still honor the no meat on Friday. And so a lot of churches and a lot of restaurants took advantage of that by providing fish sandwiches or fish baskets. And the Quarterback Club is constantly aware of what the needs and wants are in the community because they've been around for 50 years and they're locally owned and locally operated, so they know that maybe a lot of you would like a good fish dinner. I would recommend the QB, the Quarterback Club, today for your fish sandwich or for your fish dinner. The Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield, Minnesota. We'll be back with Pastor Drew in just a moment here on Kim. We are a friend that you can count on.
This is the sound of every home run Minnesota Twin Brian Dozier hit in 2017. It's a sound you'll hear even more in 2018. And as a season ticket holder, you'll get a lot more than that. From choosing your own games to savings on tickets, concessions, and merch, and even access to pregame field passes, you'll get the most out of the season. That is the ultimate fan experience. This is How We Baseball. Get your season tickets today at twinsbaseball.com.
We're back on KYMN Radio, 10:15 our time, and we have a little light rain falling occasionally on this Friday morning in July. My guest this morning is Pastor Drew from the Erlen Lutheran Church on County Road 9, and they call themselves Cannon Falls, okay? That isn't Cannon Falls, though.
Well,
turn you on.
Yeah, we have a Cannon Falls address, but we're kind of in between communities. Cannon Falls, Denison, Kenyon.
Yep.
So we're kind of at the nexus of all those.
Are you familiar with that church that's out there all alone by itself? And I think it's called Holden.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I go for motorcycle rides, mm-hmm. and I pull in there, and I actually go in the church mm-hmm. and check it all out. That's a beautiful church, and it's well-maintained.
Yes. Yeah, and there's – so talking about the history, if you've ever been out to Holden, it's I think they call it the Cathedral of the Cornfields.
Okay. You know, that's cute. Yeah.
It kind of rises up out of these fields, and it's a beautiful building. But Holden, historically, that was kind of the flagship Norwegian congregation in the area. And in fact, Erland, my congregation, was one of the daughter congregations to sort of spring out of that. There was a Norwegian missionary named B.J. Moose, M-U-U-S, who started Holden and then kind of branched out, started all these other congregations in the area, and then went on to found St. Olaf College.
Oh, so I thought that name sounded familiar.
Yes. So they're kind of all part of the same family through the work of B.J. Moose.
You know what umyaya means?
No.
umyaya. You don't?
I mean, I heard the song, but yeah. I didn't know umyaya had a meaning.
It means that you're probably from St. Olaf College, and you can be anywhere in the world. And if you see somebody and you can, you don't even know, and if they got St. Olaf on their shirt or something, all you have to do is go, umyaya, and they'll turn around and they'll go, oh, you. But, you know, what's it like as a young man that went through all that education, and now when you get done, what happens? Do you pick a parish, or does a bishop do it, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a little complex, but basically it's a collaboration between you and the congregations who are looking for a pastor and the bishop's office on the synod level. So,
is that the Steve Dozier level?
Is Steve Delzer, yeah.
Delzer, excuse me. Mm-hmm, yep. I'm thinking baseball here.
Right. Yeah, we just heard his home runs, right? So basically how it works is once you are looking for a congregation to serve, you submit your paperwork to the bishop's office at the synod level, and they put that on file, and then they have kind of the list of congregations who are looking for pastors. They look at what's in your paperwork, see what your gifts are, what you're hoping to do in your ministry, and your experience and all of that. And then they look at the list of congregations and see what they're looking for. And then they'll send you maybe a short list, or maybe just one name to check out, and encourage you to go and set up an interview with that congregation's call committee, the people who have been tasked to kind of search for the new pastor. So then you get an interview, and then from there on out, it's kind of between the pastor and the congregation. So the synod and the bishop are there to sort of facilitate and guide that process. But in the end, it's a decision between the congregation and the pastor.
Well, that seems like it would be kind of a tight situation, because look at the different ways it can go. The congregation wants you, but you don't want to work in this area. You want to work in this area, but the congregation isn't satisfied with that. Both of you agree to disagree, or both of you agree to agree. So how does that feel for you when you are a rookie, mm-hmm. and you're coming to a church that's going to be celebrating 150 years?
Yeah, I didn't know that coming into Erland, that the 150th was coming up. I've been there for just over 3 years now, and it is my first call, so I came straight out of seminary. And actually, Erland was the one and only interview that I did. So I think the bishop's office really knew what they were doing when they suggested to me that I interview there. Because right away, I got a good feeling about this place, and I could see that the people were passionate about ministry and that my gifts would line up well with what they were hoping for. And it's been a great fit.
Well, you know, when I look at you, I say, oh, there's a guy who's in the ministry. I bet you that he is the right hand of a pastor at a church, and he takes care of the youth of the church. That's what I'm thinking.
Sure. Yeah.
You're dealing with people that are twice as old as you, if not mm-hmm. even more.
That's right.
And did that have a play in it at all? Did you feel like, mm-hmm. oh, these people aren't going to want a rookie?
Mm-hmm. I kind of thought there might be some of that. Erland, Erland had some recent conflict in its history. And,
I'm aware of that.
And you know a little bit of that story, Wayne. But it had gone through a lot of change really fast in the few years before I came.
Right.
And they had gone from a staff of two pastors, and now they were looking, two experienced pastors, and now they were looking for just one, preferably first call, because, you know, when we're rookies, we expect to get paid less. Because that's how much Erland had kind of lost members, lost those supporting dollars to do ministry. So they were happy to give a guy like me a shot, a rookie, a greenhorn, and it sounded good to me. So, but yeah, you know, when you're a young guy like me, you do get those comments every once in a while. Oh, you seem too young to be a pastor, you know. I just kind of laugh it off and try to show them that I've been called by God to do this. And yeah, I might not be as experienced as a lot of other pastors, but I'm learning, I'm growing, and yeah, if I can show them that I can do the job, then it doesn't matter how old I am.
Do you remember the very first service that you performed?
I do.
And how did you feel?
I was a little nervous, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was nervous, but it was a good feeling, too, because I knew they wanted me there, even though most of them didn't know me yet. But one of the first, I think, contact points with the congregation past the call committee, you know, the people I interviewed with, was when my wife and I moved into our house in Cannon Falls. And we had a truckload full of stuff, including probably about 2 tons of flooring that we wanted to install right away so that we could tear out the carpet and put the flooring in before we put our furniture in. So a bunch of people showed up to help us move in, and it was just right away I knew, okay, these people know how to be a church. They know how to love and support each other, and they're willing to do that for their new pastor. So I just right away knew that this was going to be a good thing.
We have a gentleman in town who's a former pastor, retired, by the name of Dwayne Everson. Have you ever met Dwayne?
Dwayne Everson. I may have.
Yeah, he's from St. Peter's.
Okay.
Retired from there.
Okay.
And at one of the services, he mentioned he was going to paint his deck, or whatever you do to it. What do you stain his deck, I guess you mm-hmm. say. And then as a little humor, he said, and all those of you that want to help me, you're welcome. So I went over there, and I helped him paint his deck. And I have a big deck, and I hated it. I hated it. So we put in the stuff that's everlasting.
Yes. So you don't have to do it again.
Yeah. We're going to take a brief break. We will be back with our guest today. And that's Pastor Drew from the Erland Lutheran Church.
Leo South in Lakeville is not your typical power sports company. It's family-owned and run, meaning you actually get to talk to the owners. What's even more impressive is they have 25-plus employees, and they all work every hour they're open. So you don't have to stand in long lines waiting for help. Plus, get faster and more coordinated service. And getting parts? Well, there's so much experience behind the parts counter, you'll be amazed. Our motto is, we sell fun. But every day, our mission is to help you from finding parts, getting service, or shopping for something new and fun too. Visit leosouth.com to tempt yourself.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Well, good morning once again. Thank you for tuning to FM 95.1 FM, the one. And, of course, for 50 years, 1080 AM radio from Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Pastor Drew, and he's from the Erland Lutheran Church. It's a pretty church that you go by if you're trying to get to Rochester. You just take County Road 9 and go down through Sogan Valley and then come to the top, and you'll see the church on your right. It's a beautiful church. Now, one of the things that a young pastor might bring to a congregation that's average age is a little bit above your age, mm-hmm. is new ideas and new things, and something that perhaps would be unthinkable 50 years ago, certainly 150 years ago, and that's you actually are do you have, I've heard a rumor that you have had a service at a winery or a brewery or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we just recently, we did what we're calling Hymns on Tap.
Hymns on Tap?
Yes. So we were at the new brewery in Cannon Falls, Tillion Brewing Company, which I highly recommend to you who are interested in craft brew.
This is an unpaid commercial.
That's true, unpaid. But they've been great to us and letting us come in and use their space to do this thing, which is basically we come in with our guitars. I partner with Pastor Nick and Cindy Fisher Broin at Spring Garden Lutheran Church. They're very musical. Nick with his guitar, Cindy with her banjo, and me with my guitar, and we sing hymns and other songs.
What time of the day? What week of the day? Or what day of the week?
We did it on Thursday.
Oh, okay. So this isn't a Sunday. Everybody come to the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It's you did it on a Thursday. Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't really. It's not a worship service per se, but we're singing our faith. And we're proclaiming in that way our faith, but having a good time in the midst of it, and doing it in a place that you wouldn't normally hear the gospel proclaimed, in a brewery.
Well, how's that set up, the brewery, in regards to seating? Is it like a restaurant-style seating? Or?
Yeah, they have in there, they have kind of picnic tables that have been finished and lots of hard surfaces, so the acoustics are good for singing. Yeah.
What time on a Thursday?
Well, we did it, let's see, we started at 6 and went till 8, I believe, or was it 5 to 7? But we're going to do it again, I think, in the fall.
Well, what did your congregation think about, hey, on Thursday we're going to a brewery, and we'd like you to all come and join us, and we'll sing along and drink some beer?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little worried at first that I might get some pushback, but I really didn't. Part of it was, I wanted to be sure to talk about this as a family-friendly event, and it was, and there were non-alcoholic beverages available, so it's not like you have to drink beer to come. Everyone was kind of excited to try something new. And
how many do you think showed up? 10? 12?
We got about 25.
25?
Yeah.
That's
and,
pretty good.
And it wasn't just Erlen folks. It was, we wanted to open it up to the whole community. Interdenominational, isn't just Lutherans.
Yeah.
Even though, if you look at Lutheran history, there is a penchant for beer drinking. If you look at Luther,
yeah,
he was well known, and his wife Katie was the brewer in the family, and they would often have Bible studies around their table, and Katie would bring in the home brew and get some interesting theological conversation going there.
Who are you talking about?
Martin Luther.
Really?
Yeah.
You know his wife's name?
Katie. Yes.
Wow, Katie. That's pretty. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And Katie, maybe it was Kathleen, and they call her Katie.
Yeah, Catherine or Catalina.
Where's his brewery at?
The brewery in Cannon Falls is on Mill Street.
Okay.
Right across the street from the winery.
Here's how we do it. You drive into Cannon Falls, and there's stop and go light. You turn on your left blinker, and then you get the green light, you'd go left, and you go through the historic part of downtown, mm-hmm. and then the first street that you're going to come to is Mill Street.
That's right.
And you take a left, and there'll be a beer brewery on the right and a winery on the left.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
That's exactly
that's
it.
Left. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how, okay, and mm-hmm. you did it on a Thursday, and mm-hmm. you were pleased with the turnout, and you had fun, I assume.
We did have a lot of fun. Cannon Falls also has something called Thursday Fun Fest, which the Chamber of Commerce puts on. And they were scheduled to have it that day right there on Mill Street, where, you know, they have a bunch of vendors and live music. And so we were planning on kind of it being at the same time, and, you know, maybe we would bring some people that wouldn't normally go to the Fun Fest and vice versa. But the weather was very hot that day.
Oh.
And so they canceled the Fun Fest. But we went on with our festivities indoors in the air conditioning.
So the next Sunday, what kind of pushback did you have, or any
Zero.
Comments?
I had none, yeah.
Oh, did anybody say, hey, way to go, pat on the back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, some of our older members were the ones to show up and be supportive. So, yeah, you know, you have kind of, there are some of those ideas out there, stereotypes about church folk and older folk and, you know, age groups. But I think Erland kind of breaks those stereotypes down in a lot of ways. They've been nothing but supportive of me and my ideas. For the most part, you know, every congregation, you know, and it shouldn't be all about the pastor's ideas.
What idea did they, did you not use by their recommendation? Did you have one?
Just some things going, I'd rather not talk in detail about these things, but, you know, they're just, rightfully so, you know, I would be worried if the congregation did everything the pastor said, right? Then I think the pastor maybe has a little too much power.
Okay.
So that there's a healthy...
You don't have to reveal some ideas that they turned down.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you try enough ideas, they're going to accept some of them, and this one's off the wall, and it worked.
Uh-huh.
And I can just I can just see... I have an aunt, my wife's aunt, that is a member of your church, and mm-hmm. she's 90, 91,
mm-hmm.
and she's very connected to your church. You know whom I mean?
Oh,
Millie,
yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
I can see her sitting there keeping a beat to your music, and at the end, raise a stub of beer, whatever they call that. Hallelujah! Take a swig.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So
or root beer or soda. You know.
Yeah. What about the youth program? I would imagine you're clicking there.
Yeah. So we have a well-attended Sunday school, and it continues to grow. As you said, Wayne, earlier, that, you know, we do have a fair amount of younger families who are joining Erland. You know, for a rural church, we're actually, on the whole, fairly young. We've lost a lot of our older members in recent years.
Did some of those people come back, you know? I talked about this before on the air, but there was the ELCA accepted gay mm-hmm. people, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And some people didn't want to accept that, and some did, and they kind of split the congregation,
mm-hmm.
and some left, and some stayed. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, some stayed that would have probably think that maybe they should go,
mm-hmm.
but they stuck around just to see, and it turns out mm-hmm. no problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not gay, though.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I am.
So that thing is kind of over with?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've been talking about this recently. You know, it was in 2009 that the ELCA, our national church body, voted to accept and allow people who are in committed same-gender relationships. Now, that was before we had the national law of you know, same gender marriages were legal. So now we've adjusted that language. When that vote came down, people at Erland and in a lot of congregations around the country were asking the question, well, what does this mean for us? You know, a lot of people who have a particular reading of the Bible thought that this was an unfaithful decision and thought, we need to leave the ELCA. So there was that debate happened at Erland, and it was very divisive, very divisive. There was a vote on whether or not to leave, and they voted to stay. It was a narrow, it was a close vote.
Yeah.
So obviously whenever you have a vote like that, there are winners and losers, and so a lot of people left, and very painful time for the congregation. I wasn't there at the time, but I still feel that pain in a lot of people who lost their friends, people who are close to them who are no longer in their church. And, you know, even a lot of the people who stayed at Erland may not necessarily agree with the decision that was made, but they love their church enough to know that that they value the broader church and the benefits of being in that, and what that means. I think we're continuing to evolve on our views of that issue, if you want to call it an issue, of how we welcome and accept people of different sexualities. Personally, I believe that Jesus calls us to do that, no matter who you are, or where you come from, or what your background is, that we're called to love all people. And I think we can all agree on that. Really what it comes down to, where the conflict is how you read the Bible. And I think there will continue to be disagreement about that in the church, in the church in general. So we're still kind of working through that conflict and the aftershocks, and we're healing, right? And it's my hope that we can continue to heal and trust each other, so that we can love each other and grow through it.
Do you ever do a sermon on that subject?
Mm-hmm, I have.
Okay.
I have.
Educational type, you know.
And how it relates to, I think the text that day when I talked about this was when Jesus appeared to his disciples right after the resurrection in the Gospel of Luke, I believe. He shows his disciples his feet and his hands, but it doesn't say whether he had wounds or if they had healed or if there was some kind of scar there. It doesn't mention that. In the Gospel of John, there were holes, but in Luke's Gospel, I think it's Luke, it doesn't say what the disciples saw. So we play with that image, and where are we at as a congregation? Have we healed? Do we have scars, or are these still open wounds for us? And maybe we're, each person is at a different spot with that, but together we're healing, and Christ is transforming us through the wounds to be a transformed body of Christ.
I'm going to take a break, and then when we come back, we can change the subject. You covered that very well, because I was curious. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Drew from the Erland Lutheran Church on County Road 9.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, July 28th, because the Vintage Band Festival is back. This outdoor event will take place on Bridge Square in Northfield from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and includes over 10 bands. This fun day includes vintage brass bands and mariachi bands composed of award-winning musicians from across the state and country. There will be food available from the Cannon Valley Lions Club Traveling Kitchen and Maria's Taco Hut. Bring your lawn chairs or blankets to the Vintage Band Festival on Saturday, July 28th. It's free and fun for the whole family.
Are you looking for spacious senior living in Northfield? Feel at home at Northfield Retirement Communities, Northwood Pines. Available for individuals and couples, this assisted living combines the privacy of one-bedroom plus den apartments with family-style meals and care available around the clock. Visit us online at northfieldretirement.org or call us today at 664-3466. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation, choice, tradition.
Isn't that something? I remember when I first came to Northfield, you only had a dial four numbers, and then you had to dial five, and then the four numbers. Then you had to dial 645, and the four numbers. And then you got 663, and the four numbers. And now we've got 664 or more. But anyhow, that's the growth of the telephone dialing system. And, of course, we went through that here at KYMN Radio, Same telephone number for almost 50 years now, 645-5695. If you or someone you know would be an interesting guest to join me here on the air, you can reach me with this, Wayne@KYMNradio.com. Wayne@KYMNradio.com. Okay, a little plug there, and now we're getting back to our guest this morning. His name is Andrew Yackel, and Andrew Yackel prefers Pastor Drew. So that's what I'll refer you to, Pastor Drew. How do you do? I like that. do you have anybody, when you're going up to that 150th, when is that celebration going to be?
That'll be September 15th and 16th, so okay. Saturday and Sunday. On that Saturday night, we'll have kind of a celebration out in our park, which you know, Wayne, is right up against our parking lot, and it's a nice space with trees.
I've been to services on your outside deal.
Okay, yeah. So we'll have like a variety show that night. And
you know what? I'm thinking I should have recognized you because I went to one of your services.
Okay.
I think either this summer or last summer. And it was outside, beautiful, uh-huh. And I know.
I might not have been there. I am known to go on vacation every once in a while.
Okay, maybe it wasn't. Okay, because I'd remember you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's coming up September 14th and 15th?
15th and 16th.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And everybody's invited?
Everyone is invited, and we've got a lot of things planned. Like I said, we've got this celebration on the 15th that night in the park. We'll have a variety show.
A variety show?
Yes. So we did something like this last summer to raise money for our basement remodel project, which we just finished this summer. Music, corny jokes from Pastor Drew, other acts, musical acts, some poetry reading, that sort of thing. We have
serious poetry reading.
Some, yes, okay. Yes. And what else? Oh well, we have a praise and worship team. We call it once a month. We'll lead the worship service in more of a contemporary style, you know, with drums and guitars and all that. And so the praise team will lead a lot of that music. And then we'll have, you know, of course, food, and I think we're planning pie and ice cream, although don't quote me on that. And then on Sunday, on the 16th, we will have kind of the big festival worship service and a program afterward where we'll kind of reflect on both the past and hopefully kind of where we're going in the future. Bishop Steve Delzer will be there to preach and help lead worship. So we're very excited. It's going to be a great day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How is the graveyard out there? You're surrounded by graveyards, basically, except for the parking lot on the east side.
Yes.
And
that's one of the things I love about Erland. We're literally surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. Right, that's an image from the Bible I like to use. In fact, that was the first thing I noticed when I interviewed, like we were talking about before, the interview process. When I first came to the building, that's what I noticed right away is, oh man, there are gravestones completely surrounding the church building except for the road. And what a great image of, you know, all the saints surrounding, you know, both the living and the dead. So a lot of churches will have cemeteries kind of somewhere else, maybe sometimes by intention, others just because they don't have the land. And I think in our culture, we tend to want to kind of push away our dead or have them somewhere else. But at Erland, we have them right there with us, and I love that.
Well, my wife's parents are buried at Vang, which isn't near the church, mm-hmm. And Memorial Day, we go out there. She does, well, I go with, but she does her flower planting and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And in your place, her uncle is right there, you know, mm-hmm. So you can go over, go to church and afterwards visit the grave or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And did you find any, do you have a committee that's trying to get everything in order and find out the history so in the 150 years you can say this family started it, this family was a great contributor financially, and this family, are you getting into that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and in fact, your Aunt Millie is kind of leading that effort in re-examining the history. I think what we're going to try to not get too specific about, you know, about certain families and, you know, because we want it to be inviting for all of our people, right, and not just make it about so-and-so back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And also to make sure we focus on not only the past but on the future and our present. Maybe most importantly, our present.
Well, the reason I ask that question is I wonder if there is a current family that are members of the Erland Church who has a history back to when it was first started.
Several of the families who are at part of Erland today can go all the way back to when it was first founded.
That's 8 generations or more.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. That I think it's both kind of a gift, but it can be a challenge sometimes too. If you think about when new people come and they're seeking a place in the community and in the church, how are they viewed by the folks who have been there for generations? And I think unintentionally we can sometimes create these insider and outsider circles. And I'm kind of one of the weird people who's sort of in both, because I'm definitely a newcomer. But as the pastor, I have kind of a privileged spot in some of those inner circles. But still, you know, someday I'm not going to be there forever. So, and people know that.
I think in high school they called it cliques.
Yes.
Remember those cliques?
Yes.
Were you in the right clique? Were you a jock? Were you a nerd? Were you a, you know, whatever? And that happens in every place.
That's right.
One of the things that I will never forget is I was a kid. I'll tell you, I was in the 8th grade. And I was going to a school on the west side of St. Paul called St. Matthew's. And I'm even getting, by the way, letters from them, fundraising letters for the class of 55, grade school.
Wow.
And anyhow, they used to publish annually the donations of the congregation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd look up Smith, George.
Oh, of each family, an individual,
you know, $1,240. Wow. Eddie, Lorraine, $20.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That would not fly today.
No. I always felt that it was a kind of a embarrassment to contribute more, obviously.
Yeah. I think using shame in some cases or you know, that social pressure to give more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or to satiate your ego and be a big contributor.
Mm-hmm.
Just let people know that I can afford $1,000.
Right.
But they don't do that anymore.
That's correct.
But I did go through that as part of my growing up.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, if you will, about the youth program again.
Yeah.
And who's working at it? Like I said, I thought you would have been a youth organizer, but do you have people that you select that want to do that?
Yes, especially at kind of the younger age groups in Sunday school. And we have what we call a Christian Formation Committee, which are a group of people who are sort of in charge of overseeing Sunday school, especially recruiting teachers, selecting curriculum, planning the year out, and organizing things like the Christmas program and summer vacation Bible school. And they also help to fill in when teachers are gone and so forth. And then when we get into the older age groups, confirmation age, I teach the confirmation class. And I also lead the high school age youth And every Sunday we have what we call a youth forum, which is kind of a time where we discuss faith and kind of current culture issues, just what's going on in their lives. And every summer we have trips. This summer we went to the National Youth Gathering in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
Where 30,000 other youth and adult leaders were gathered there, all ELCA churches, and were there to worship and learn and
serve.
Where did you stay? We stayed downtown in a nice hotel.
Oh, so you weren't out camping or anything?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had...
What did you do to use as a fundraiser? Because that's got to be expensive, the bus down there, I assume.
We actually flew.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't that much more expensive to fly because, well, I don't want to bore you with the details. But
well, how many went?
So from Erland, we had three, a youth and myself, but we traveled together with all the other ELCA congregations from Cannon Falls. So total, I think we had, close to... close to 40 kids.
So did you have fundraisers for the four of you?
We did, yep. We kind of did fundraising.
Did they sell candy?
Well, at Erland, we do this thing called Pies the Limit.
And that's a good one.
Yeah. So it's like a bake sale, but people bring in their pies and their baked goodies, and it's an silent auction. And that's always a great seller. But also just the congregation itself has been very supportive of the youth. And just giving money outright to support trips like this.
I helped the, who was it? I can't remember. Anyhow, it was when Webster had Webster Harvest Days, and they don't do that anymore, but they did it for many years. And I can remember the Rice County Sheriff's name is Troy Dunn. Mm. And I went up and I said, Troy, I'm going to be auctioning off these pies, and you're running for sheriff. And this is a good way for you to, you know, show your support, et cetera. And he said, okay. So I had all these pies and auctioned them off. And I'd go in and say, I don't think we're done yet. Troy Dunn, you're running for sheriff, don't you think maybe? And it was just a fun thing to do. And he ended up, you know, with a pie, and he ended up with getting the
victory.
The victory in the race for sheriff.
Nice.
So I would offer my services if you ever needed them to do that. But if you're doing well with the silent auction, you know, continue that. But
yeah, well, I'll have to keep that in mind, Wayne. That's a generous offer.
Yeah, and let me know in advance so I can find the proper denture grips.
Okay.
It's hard. We have a final break and a wrap-up. We're here on KYMN Radio. Pastor Drew is my guest, and he's from the Erland Church. You know where it is if you ever travel between here and Rochester. You just cross 56, and before you get to 52, up through the windy hill, you'll find the church right there on your right.
Have you stood in a gym surrounded by equipment and wondered what you should be doing? Have you stepped onto a treadmill with headphones and just zoned out? Step into CrossFit Scopos instead and let our coaches and community challenge and change you with a program scaled for you and a whole community of people cheering you on to be your best self. Go to CrossFitScopos.com and learn more, then take a free class. Come talk to me, I'm Greg Berube, the owner. That's CrossFit Scopos in Dundas by Menards.
Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock has everything today's farmer needs, from feed, fertilizer, seed, herbicide, and custom application. Farmer's Mill and Elevator has 70 years of experience working with the area farmers to achieve the best possible products. Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock reminds you to take in the Rice County Fair this week and take in the 4-H and FFA exhibits.
I like that Farmer's Castle Rock deal there, the OJs. I used to like to go, knock, knock, who's there? OJs. OJs who? OJ, can you see? I am a silly guy, you know that?
I love it.
4 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio. My guest this morning is from the Erland Lutheran Church in Cannon Falls, and his name is Pastor Drew, and Andrew Yackel. And we talked about Yackel and Ken Yackel, the hockey guy.
We did.
And,
yeah.
And we, you're not related?
Well, distantly. I think he's my grandpa's second cousin.
Oh, that's yeah. distant. Yeah.
yeah.
So do you play hockey?
I don't. I can skate. Okay. But, yeah, I never played the actual game.
Are you going to do that brewery thing again?
Yes. We don't have a date yet, but we're planning on like probably late September, maybe early October, sometime in the fall. So, yeah, if you're interested in participating in that, I'd encourage anyone who's listening to like our Facebook page, Erland Lutheran Church, or go to our website, erland.org. Erland.org.
Who put that together?
My wife is kind of, she's like the manager of the website, and together we manage the Facebook
page.
Did
you build it? Your wife built it?
Mm-hmm.
So when you got there as a rookie, one of the first things you did is you brought it into the current world in regards to communication.
That's right, yeah.
That's a good, you know, did congregants know all about that stuff or learn or both?
I think both. There's some knowledge already, but yeah, we've been talking about maybe having like a class on how to use social media and the website because, you know, people are generally know about it, but still people prefer to have sometimes their paper, you know, in the mail.
Oh, I know. I know. I like letters. I had, you mm-hmm. know, handwritten personal letters.
Yeah.
But I got to ask, I just happened to think about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's bow our heads and meditate. Do you ever find people using their smartphones while you're preaching or during the sermon or anything?
Yeah, I think every once in a while I kind of catch a glance and see somebody doing that, but or maybe taking a little nap.
Yeah.
But no, people are pretty attentive. And, you know, the stereotype is that, you know, it's the youth that they're always on their phones. But, you know, I think for the most part that's an unfair stereotype. I was just at last night. We had a picnic in Red Wing I'm part of Habitat for Humanity. I'm on the board of directors for Goodhue County's affiliate. There's an affiliate here in Northfield, too. But anyway, we had a group of about 40 youth from Missouri come up and work for 2 whole weeks on
wow.
the house there in Red Wing. And I just couldn't say enough good things about this group of young people. You know, they were hardworking, focused, and gracious, and they weren't stuck on their phones.
Yeah.
You know?
And what's funny is probably a group of Minnesota people went to Missouri to help their habitat. So,
yeah.
Final thing I got to tell you that happened at the funeral of my wife's uncle Ray, and I was honored to they asked me to give the eulogy, and so I got a suit and tie on and all that stuff, and the minister calls me up, and I get up there and I start giving the eulogy. Ring. My phone rang.
I know.
I totally, you know, what? Yeah. So I reached in my pocket and I put it up to my ear and I go, excuse me, folks. Hello? Oh, good. Thank you. It's good to know. Goodbye. Ray has arrived in heaven. I kind of get goosebumps, you know.
That's good. I love that.
Oh, boy.
I might have to use that.
Okay. Yeah. You could set it up.
Yeah.
Somebody
right.
call you, but I just didn't set it. Mine was not a setup, and I thought, well, how do I handle this?
Yeah.
I want to say thank you very much for joining us here on the One KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. And I'm going to, I think I'm going to take an opportunity sometime to come on out there and check you out on the sermon stand or whatever you call pulpit. There
yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you'd be very interesting. I'm very glad to have met you.
Thank you, Wayne, and it's great to meet you, and thanks for having me on.
You're entirely welcome. Now I have to give the station identification. First of all, we're from Northfield, Minnesota, and secondly, we are KYMN 1080 AM radio, And not only that, we are something more than 1080 AM.
Join Jeff Johnson, Terry Knight, and Tim McNiff on the KYMN Morning Show weekdays 6 to 9 here on 95.1 The One.
Yeah.
95.1. The One revolutionizes radio with a playlist that lasts for days, not minutes.
Every night, just about four, who's the one who turns my lights down low? And when it's time to go to sleep, who's the one who calls my name so sweet? Baby, 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 talking about baby, yeah. All I know, who could thrill me from head to toe? But who's the one who treats me right? About my baby. About baby, 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 baby.
I can't wait until tomorrow. Cause tomorrow might very well be too late. I can't wait until tomorrow. Cause tomorrow could never come. But I pray tomorrow comes, but it could be too late. I'm ready to smile, but for a long while wouldn't take much to get me down. I love my mother, dream in color, most of all I know my place. I can't wait until tomorrow, cause tomorrow might very well be too late. Say that it bends and then it breaks you till your dying day. So many die, I never figure what the hell is going on. Gotta love my mother, dream it in color. Most of all, you gotta know your place. Gotta love my mother, dream it in color. Stronger, no, no, no.
If you're looking for something free, you'll find it at the Great Rice County Fair in Faribault, July 17th through the 22nd on the Selner Stage. Tuesday at 7 p.m., it's the Rice County Fair Queen Coronation. Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., it's the Jolly Peas. Thursday from 7 to 10, it's the White Sidewalls. Friday from 7 to 9, it's Brad Boyce, the Elvis impersonator, followed by Saturday's 8:30 p.m. performance by La Raza de Mexico. The free events on the Selner Stage conclude Sunday at 4 p.m. with the 4-H Parade of Champions. RiceCountyFair.net for more information.
Are you looking for a rewarding career with a successful, growing company? Post Consumer Brands, the makers of Malt Meal, Honey Bunches of Oats, and Pebbles, is hiring full-time in Northfield. We're looking for passionate individuals with previous manufacturing experience and a high school degree. We offer competitive wages for production employees starting at $20.63 an hour and maintenance employees starting at up to $31 an hour, depending on experience. 401k with a generous company match and bonus incentive plans. To view openings and apply for our full-time positions, visit jobs.postconsumerbrands.com/KYMN.
The Quarterback Club in Northfield serves the best flame-broiled burgers, baby back ribs, and chicken in Northfield. They also have daily specials that are sure to satisfy. Every meal is made to order, and you can dine in or take out. For daily specials, quality food, and great prices, make it the Quarterback Club in Northfield.
Love of your life deserves the best, and jewelry is always a great choice. But Chappie Custom Jewelry is unsurpassed in design and quality. Hi, I'm Nate Chappie with Chappie Jewelers. One of our cases is solely dedicated to handcrafted jewelry available to you. Not bought from the manufacturer, then sold back to you. No, no, no. We start with a block of wax or metal and create custom jewelry from scratch. Come often, because we add Chappie Creations weekly.
Your one-of-a-kind, third-generation engagement jewelers.
Chappie Jewelers.
95.1, the one station where our playlist goes on for days.
Comes around just about 5 feet four. I throw my head to the ground. You know, she comes around here just about midnight. She make her feel so good. She make her feel all right. And her name is G. Oh, yeah.
comes around here just about midnight. She make me feel so good, love. I wanna say she make me feel alright. Comes walking down my street. Watch you come to my house. She knock upon my door. And then she come to my room. Now she make me feel alright.
One thing, don't ask me to change.